John chapter 8, we're talking about, this is the account where the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. There's a lot of things that we can learn from this account, and that's, Lord willing, that's what we would like to do. We're going to read in chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. The Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, notice he said their own conscience and not by the Holy Spirit, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine those accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this particular passage that you have brought us to tonight. Lord, I do pray that you would help me to say what I should so that I can accurately deliver your message to your people. Lord, I don't know the needs that your people have, but you do, and I pray that you would use this to help us all to draw closer to you, to see the things that we need to see in ourself, and to make correction. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The setting here is Jesus is at the temple, and there's lots of people. Back then it was different than it is today. We stand behind a podium. Jesus typically would go in there and he would actually sit down somewhere.
Yeah.
Open up what they had as their Bible, which was the law, the Old Testament. And he would read and teach. That's what he was doing at the time that the Pharisees brought this woman into Jesus. And I picture them coming in haste. I don't think they knocked on a door. I don't think they asked for permission. I don't think they really intended to get any permission to abruptly bring this woman in and pretty much throw her down in front of Jesus as he was teaching. They rudely interrupted.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the people that were listening to Jesus were listening intently, learning, very likely even amazed at the, not just the knowledge that Jesus had, but the authority by which he preached.
Yes.
So they were learning. They were tuned in to what he was saying. Jesus was, of course, carrying on a train of thought, trying to teach them something from God's word, and boom. It would be like somebody coming through those doors and just screaming out something.
Yeah.
Right? Just totally disrupting what was going on. Something that I learned right here is never interrupt other people when they're talking. It's rude.
Yeah.
It's rude to the person talking, and it's rude to the people who are listening. Mm. Do you like it when people interrupt you? The golden rule says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I don't think the Pharisees were doing that.
No.
They didn't care, really, what the people thought, and they sure didn't care what Jesus thought. They had a one-track mind, of which we're trying to figure out or learn what they were trying to do. Mm. The second thing that I picked up here is that the Pharisees were obviously not showing pure judgment.
Right.
They brought in this woman that was caught in adultery, but purposely avoided bringing the man. Mm. There was a man.
Yeah.
What happened to him? I know I'm speculating here, but I kind of feel like it may have been one of them. Mm. I could be wrong. What we're not wrong about is the fact that they purposely avoided bringing him. What was their motive? The Bible says that their motive was to catch Jesus making a wrong judgment. That's why that they recited what the law said that they were supposed to do when something like this happened.
Right.
But instead of just doing it, they weren't really concerned about stoning the woman. They were concerned about catching Jesus in his words. Mm. So that they could accuse him. So that they could say, ah, you see there? You don't even believe the Bible. Mm. You don't abide by it. Mm. When people set out to expose other people's sin, they normally have an impure motive.
Yes.
We learn in Proverbs, Solomon tells us that love hides sin. Not in the sense that I'm going to hide my sin. Or hide your sin. So that other people don't know what a terrible person you are. That's not it at all. Again, we're back to the golden rule. I mess up.
Yeah.
I sin. I don't want everybody knowing about it.
Right.
What I do want to do is I want to ask God for forgiveness, confess my sin to Him.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put it on a billboard.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Bible doesn't give us any indication we need to do that anyway.
Mm.
Right. So therefore, I should not want to expose your sin any more than my own, according to the golden rule.
Yeah.
So when someone, whether it be you or me, are trying to expose someone else's wrongdoing through gossip. Through gossip.
Right.
It's wrong. It's an impure motive. That's exactly what the Pharisees were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 6, we find Jesus' first reaction. It says, "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him." But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not.
Mm.
I don't know what he wrote. The Bible doesn't say. We can only speculate. But I think he was doing a couple of things here. Number one, I think he was trying to give them a little bit of time to think about what they were doing.
Mm.
He was avoiding the issue. Or I should say, not avoiding it, but postponing it.
Mm.
You know, Solomon tells us to defer our anger is wise.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Jesus was angry here. I don't believe he was. But a lot of times when you and I are encountered with difficult things, we do get angry.
Mm.
So to take just a few seconds, it doesn't take many. But just a few seconds before we retaliate, before we react and say something out of anger, we're better off.
Amen.
To defer that, to just put it off. Again, I don't think Jesus was angry here. He certainly wasn't caught off guard. He knew they were coming. But I also think he was taking that moment to just stoop and write on the ground, very possibly to write their own sins.
Mm.
Again, I'm speculating here because the Bible doesn't say what he did, what he wrote. Whatever he wrote is somewhat immaterial, but at the same time, I don't think it was to the Pharisees. I think he did whatever he did very deliberately. I don't think he was just drawing circles. I think he was writing their sins down on the ground. I also want you to notice the high level of pride that the Pharisees had. Which, by the way, most of the time when we read the accounts in Scripture in the four Gospels about the Pharisees, you and I would be wise to put ourselves in that position.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is that's where we are.
Yes.
Most of the time. The account where the Pharisee and the publican went to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee was so thankful that he wasn't like him, and the Pharisee was just brokenhearted over his sin and was begging for forgiveness. The Bible says that the publican left justified, but not the Pharisee.
Yeah.
The truth is, most of the time, we're the Pharisee,
right?
Not the publican.
Mm.
A lot of times we think we're just better than that other person. Better than most people.
Mm.
We're pretty good people. At least we don't do this or that or that or what they do. That's the Pharisaical mindset.
That's right.
We're all infected with it. I have a problem with it. Just confessing to you. Sometimes I think that. Sometimes I think I'm better than other people. But I'm here to tell you, I'm messed up. I have problems. There's sin in my life that I have to go to God on a pretty regular basis and confess that sin to Him and ask for forgiveness. I'm not bragging about that.
No.
I'm ashamed to say it. It's just the truth. And yet, I still feel sometimes like I'm better than other people. Isn't it interesting how the devil can make us think that sometimes?
Yeah, yeah.
The major problem with this Pharisaical mindset is that we're all about fixing other people's sin instead of our own. Sometimes we get so caught up in it that we spend days, hours, sometimes even weeks, trying to figure out what we can do. We even try to get help from other people to get that person straightened out, whoever that person may be. It might be a son or a daughter or brother-in-law or husband or wife or neighbor or whoever. We just want somebody to talk to them and straighten them out so our life would be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had a comment for that, and that was, get the beam out of your eye.
Yeah.
Then worry about their mote, that speck. David prayed a prayer in Psalms 139. He wanted God to point out his sin, not other people's. You know, we don't really need help in that area.
Right.
It's extremely easy. In fact, we have 20/20 vision. To see other people sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But apparently we need a magnifying glass to see our own. And the problem is we seldom pick up the magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
David picked it up. And he said, God, show me my sin. Search my heart.
Yeah.
Try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me.
Right.
I want to make it right. I don't want to live in sin. Sin separates me from you.
Right.
I don't like living like this. But how often do we do that? Many times we're more caught up with the sin of that other person because it's causing us a little bit of difficulty. Jesus wasn't setting a precedence here in verse 7. It says here, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He wasn't setting a precedence to not judge others or pass judgment. You know, sometimes it's necessary to pass judgment.
Yeah.
As parents, we have to pass judgment.
Yeah.
We have to lay out the rule, and when that line is crossed, we have to pass judgment and actually determine what form of correction that our child needs because of it.
Right.
That's needed, even when we're not perfect. In fact, we never are. So we still have to perform that duty, so to speak.
Yeah.
So Jesus wasn't saying here, you should never pass judgment. He said clearly in his word that we are known by our fruits. What does that mean? That means that people are going to know me by the things that I do and by the things that I say.
Yeah.
Not what's in my heart. They can't see my heart. They only know what I do and what I say. And by that, they have to pass some form of judgment in their mind as to what type of person that I am. Same with you.
Right.
That's not wrong. That's not sin. What Jesus was doing here, when he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. What he was saying was, you know what? Yes. Yes, she sinned. And if you're without sin, go ahead and pick up the rock and throw it. And as soon as he said that, verse 8 says that he went back to writing on the ground again. That's why I believe that it's very likely that he was writing their sins, because he just got through telling them, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. And it became clear and evident that they weren't without sin.
Right.
Jesus' focus was to cause the Pharisees to simply see that their whole mindset was crooked.
Yeah.
That they were crooked.
Mm.
That they needed to make some things right between them and God. I think that's the message he's trying to show us as well. Yes, there's other people around me and around you that are committing sin. They may live in your house. But more importantly than correcting their sin, we need to correct our own.
Mm.
Especially as parents. It's difficult to lead our children or grandchildren in the right direction if we're not headed in the right direction ourselves.
Amen.
That's like me trying to teach you how to fly an airplane when I have no idea how to do it.
Mm.
Brother Tommy was talking about this morning in Sunday school about Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible is very clear there, and in chapter 11, that we're supposed to teach God's law to our children all throughout the day. He even gives us four examples of when to do it. What's he saying? He is saying, teach your children God's law.
Mm-hmm.
In the Puritan church, which is the Quakers and the
Mennonites.
The Mennonites, thank you. a man, a father, can be kicked out of the church if he is caught not catechizing his children. Catechizing meaning teaching them God's law, teaching them God's word, helping them to memorize God's word, schooling them, educating them, giving them tests and quizzes on God's word. That's what catechizing means. Yes. How often do we do that? That's what he's teaching us in Deuteronomy. So I think it's important that we understand God's law and that we teach it. What Jesus was showing us here in this particular incident when the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery is to love people. Was she guilty? Yes. Look what he said to her. Verse 10. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And he didn't say, I don't think you sinned.
No.
I don't think you did anything wrong. That's not what he said. What he said was, I'm not going to cast punishment against you. Just go and sin no more. You know, I think she had a repentant heart.
Yeah, me too.
And I say that because she didn't get up and run after her accusers had left the building. I do think she was repentant.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance is the one thing that God is looking for in us. He's not looking for ways to punish us. He's looking for ways to bring us to repentance, and sometimes that involves punishment.
Yeah.
As soon as we repent, that's like the finish line right there.
Amen.
Remember the prodigal son? The day that he came back home, the father saw him from a distance,
mm-hmm.
and he took off running and met him down the driveway.
Amen.
So happy and glad that he came back because he knew he had repented. He didn't punish his son when he came back.
No.
He didn't put him in jail. He didn't beat him. He didn't even scold him.
Right.
Because he had repented. That's what God's looking for in us, is just confess your sin and come back to me. That's it. That's why Jesus didn't condemn her, because she had repented. And then he said, go and sin no more. So we can learn something here. Show love to people. Not condemnation. You know, most of the people that you and I come in contact with, we really don't even have the authority or are in a position to punish them anyway. Pretty much that's kind of just left down to our children. That's it. And my children are adults now and they have children. So I don't need to really spend any time trying to punish Justin and Sarah.
Right.
Even if they do something wrong.
Right.
So who do I need to be correcting anyway? Me. And I'm having trouble with that. So if I can't correct myself fully and completely, why do I need to be correcting other people so much? I don't. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. Show love to people, especially those who are hurting or lost. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get aggravated when lost people act lost. Do you?
Yes.
Sometimes we raise our voice at them. Sometimes we call them idiots. I believe that's wrong. I believe it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
They're lost. What can we expect from someone who is lost but for them to act lost? Show love to people, especially people that have been bound by Satan in some way. You know, you and I have been bound by Satan before we got saved.
Amen.
We didn't want God. Mm-mm. He came after us. At a time, we weren't looking for Him. It wasn't our choice to go find God. Mm. It was His choice to go find us.
Right.
And to woo us to Him. To show us our need for repentance. Mm. That doesn't make us any better than that person who has yet to repent and call out to God. Show love to people, especially people who are hurting or lost or bound in sin in some way.
Amen.
The problem is their sin many times frustrates us, in fact, even affect us sometimes. A lot of times these new laws that the lawmakers are making, they affect us in a bad way. They cost us money.
Yeah.
We get frustrated with them. We get mad with them. We call them names. Show love to people who are bound in sin. Are you able to overlook other people's downfalls? And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But there's a time to rebuke someone that's in sin. I understand that. And God's Word gives us a very clear way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes people mess up. They do things they shouldn't, either on purpose or accidentally. And it frustrates the daylights out of us, and we have to go and correct them, say things we shouldn't say sometimes. Sometimes I think it's important that we just love people and overlook their sin, just like we want other people to do for us.
Yeah.
Right? Pride will cause you and I to point out other people's sin and even to cast judgment on them. Sometimes that causes bitterness. Sometimes it causes us to hold a grudge for a long time. Mm. Years, even. Jesus is teaching us here in John chapter 8 to love people. Even people who have committed sin. Show them compassion. When we do that, we are better shining the light of Jesus than at any other time. Even better than when we open up the Bible and show them where they've sinned.
Mm.
Show love to other people, especially those in your circle who are hurting, which, by the way, hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you and I are the recipient of that. Show love towards them. This isn't easy. I'm not saying it is. It's probably one of the most difficult things we can ever do. Love people who are hurting. Love people who are lost. Learn to overlook their sin.
Mm.
Their bad habit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for showing us tonight in this account where Jesus forgave that woman, how that we can love other people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to get past our pride and to love other people. And I thank you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn to 480.